For Sunday, May 26th, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It is the sixth Sunday of Easter, and today we are going to hear John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Let's listen now to Pastor Arnie Berglund.
After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat, and he began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. Sisters and brothers in Christ, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you stand on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, looking towards the old city, you can see the Eastern Wall. And along the Eastern Wall is the Golden Gate, or the Gate of Mercy. Tradition holds that it is through that gate that the promised Messiah would emerge, and then the temple would be rebuilt, and all would be restored according to God's will. Centuries ago, the gate was bricked up. Unbelievers seeking to hedge their bets decided to prevent a way for the Messiah to come through. But there on the Mount of Olives is an ancient Jewish cemetery. It was the place to be when the Messiah arrived because you would have front row seats. Over the years, family members would place rocks on the graves of their beloved. These rocks were there to help rebuild the temple when the Messiah arrived. Such is the hope of the promise of God. The promise that God will make a home for us and in us. Now, just north of the Golden Gate is the Sheep Gate, also known as the Lion's Gate. Walking through that gate, you will come to the site of our gospel lesson today, healing at the Pool of Bethzatha. The pool is, well, it's an interesting place. For centuries, scholars believed that it didn't exist, as there was no sign of it in modern-day Jerusalem. It was believed that the gospel, according to John, had it all wrong, that this story had been written by someone unfamiliar with Jerusalem. Thus, it was usually treated as metaphorical rather than an actual place. But then, in the 19th century, archaeologists excavated the site and confirmed that indeed the Pool of Bethzatha had been found. There at that pool, you would, in Jesus' time, you would find invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed, all sitting around the pool. Who were these people? What were they doing? What were they waiting for? Over here, Anya. I think she was lost. Who were these people? The poor. The pool was supposed to have a healing power. Supposedly, what would happen is an angel would stop by stirring the water, and those who were there dove in to be healed. That's why they were there. That's why they waited day in and day out, waited for a chance to get in the pool when the water was agitated. You had to get wet to get well. The pool is interesting for another point. It had been a pool of healing, not been built as a pool of healing, not for Yahweh or for the Messiah, but rather it had been built for the Greek god of healing, Asclepius. So Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and on the Sabbath day, he goes to a local landmark dedicated to the Greek god of healing. He walks up to the person with the least chance of getting better that day. He'd been there 38 years. And proceeds on the spot to heal the man. Now, I don't know Jesus' thought patterns that day. I don't know if he was making a point about the power of God versus the power of other gods. I don't know if he was making a point about choosing a man who had been lame 38 years. I just don't know. Sometimes we sit and we wait. We wait for something magical to happen. The angel never appears. The water never stirs, and we are just as broken and just as powerless today as we were yesterday. Asclepius, the false god, has failed us again. Then Jesus arrives, reaches out to us, and our waiting is over and our healing begins, because it's the God of mercy who chooses to do so. Listen again to this story of this man, this outcast of society, this man who sat waiting year in and year out. Jesus observed him lying there and realized his plight. He asks the question, "Do you want to get well?" He answers, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me in the water when the water's agitated. I can't get in by myself because someone always beats me to it." And Jesus says, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man does just that. Now, who is this person by the poolside? Who is this 38-year-old crippled cast-off of society? Most of the time, this man is pictured in the scripture as a combination of genuine faith in Jesus and of the courage he had to help himself. After all, didn't he believe Jesus and so was healed? Didn't he obey Jesus when he got up and picked up his mat and walked around? This was the kind of person who really deserved to be healed. One who decided to trust and obey because there's no other way. So who is he, this cast off? Well, there's not one word in this story about this man's faith. There's not one hint that he believed in Jesus or anything else except this magic water in the pool. And if we read just a little farther, we'll find out that he wasn't even grateful for being healed. In fact, when the religious authorities see him walking around carrying his mat, they say, "Who healed you?" And he says he doesn't even know. And then when the authorities go on to inform him that healing and mat carrying is illegal on the Sabbath, he rats Jesus out as the one who healed him. "Jesus broke the Sabbath laws, not me." This is the man whom Jesus healed. He's a bum. He had no gratitude. He had no faith. He had no humility. He had no guts. He didn't deserve to be healed. He didn't deserve anything. This is the one who Jesus healed, the one who had been on the welfare rolls for 38 years. He's one of those people. One of those who don't deserve what they get. Now, those are the people lying around down by the poolside. A number of years ago, there was a chronic alcoholic homeless man living in Tacoma. Years and years, people tried to help him. Most gave up because he just would not play by the rules. He was notorious. He refused to do anything he could to help himself. Every church, every government agency, every homeless shelter did what they could to help him, but it never got better. When he died, the city of Tacoma claimed that they had spent some $9 million helping this one individual. He was the guy healed at the pool of Bethzatha. And why? The answer to that question is the message of this text. Jesus healed this man, not because of who the man was, but because of who Jesus was. This story is a parable of the grace of God, the undeserved, unmerited love of God. That is a radical idea, and it's right at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the reason Jesus taught. It's the reason Jesus could say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, not because of who they are, but because of who you are as my disciples. Now, we talk a lot about grace in church. That we talk that God loves us because of who God is, not because of who we are. We say God even loves us in spite of who we are. And yet, when we talk about helping others, loving others as God loved us, reaching out to those who are on the margins of our society, doing something about poverty, about homelessness, about hunger, we're really talking about helping those who deserve help, those who are truly needy. But what about those who don't deserve to be helped? Do we pass laws that make it more difficult for those to get down to the poolside? Do we make it more difficult for them to qualify for public assistance or health care? Or what about those fleeing from war and unspeakable violence who seek refuge and a better life? What about those people who find themselves on the other side of the law? Do we turn our back on them because they're not worthy? As God's hands and feet in the world, do we offer grace only to those who deserve it? By the way, I'm asking, and I'm not telling, but asking you what this story from John asks of me. Does all this talk about the grace of God have anything to do with how we live our lives? Or even how we perceive ourselves to be the church of God in Jesus Christ? I don't know about how it is with you, but I've got to say that I'm grateful every day that God deals with me because of who God is and not according to who I am. I don't have any trouble at all seeing myself as the wretch, the undeserving wretch in that hymn, Amazing Grace, because that's what I am. Interesting that the pool in this story from the Gospel of John sits directly in the shadow of the church. It's literally that close. How many people do you know, I mean, really hurting people do you know who have left the temple, left the church for the pool? John's story, the church tells us that the church wanted nothing to do with the undeserving poor. So they went to the pool. And that's where Jesus went as well. That's where Jesus healed as well. Amen.